Comic and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. This episode is produced in partnership with West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology.
This is the Best of the West, inspiring women with real stories, hosted by West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology.
Hello, and welcome to Best of the West. I'm your host, Vanessa, and today I'm speaking with Marg Latham, who was the only woman to graduate in civil engineering from Queen's University in 1974. Since then, she has continued to be a pioneer and trailblazer. Marg is a professional engineer and certified management consultant. She is president of Aqua Libra Consulting Limited, a management consulting firm. Since starting her business in 2010, she has helped public and private engineering organizations improve professional practice and quality management. From 2000 to 2009, Marg was a vice president with consulting firms UMA and AECOM, A-E-C-O-M, where she implemented management systems to improve client delivery. She spent the first 20 years of her career managing institutional, residential, and infrastructure projects in Toronto, Winnipeg, and Vancouver. Marg was also instrumental in developing the EGBC OQM program and assisting over 200 applicants in receiving an OQM certificate. She is currently assisting a number of public and private sector organizations in meeting permit to practice requirements. For five decades, Marg has also been a champion for women in engineering and construction across Canada. She is currently the chair of the Canadian Centre for Women in Science, Engineering, Trades, and Technology, or WINSET, an organization committed to fostering opportunities for women to enter, stay, grow, and lead at all levels in science, engineering, trades, and technology careers. Marg is also the 2021 recipient of the R.A. McLaughlin Award, one of the President's Awards presented annually by EGBC. Welcome to the podcast, Marg.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I am delighted to have you. Your bio is very impressive, and I cannot wait to hear about all of the things. So why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about what occupies your days?
What occupies my days? Well, it's a mix of three things. I do have a number of clients that I'm working with these days around getting them ready for requirements for corporate regulation. I also have, there seems to be a lot going on in the world of WINSET. So last week, I think I had six WINSET meetings over the course of the week, getting things planned. It's end of the year and getting those ready. And just to add a little challenge to our lives, my spouse and I are in the process of building a new home. Oh. So there's lots going on in our lives at the moment.
That is a lot. Yeah. Building a home. Oh, my goodness. Well, I wish you the best of luck in that.
We're not physically doing it ourselves.
Oh, good.
We have people who are who know what they're doing.
Good. Well, I imagine it's going to be amazing when it's done. But I know that right now, when you're in the thick of it, it's probably pretty stressful. But hopefully it'll be a good reward in the end. So can you tell me, how did you sort of end up where you are today in your career? And I know you have a very long bio of amazing accomplishments. So however you want to tell the story and however whatever you want to include.
I think I'll start at the very beginning, coming out of school, because I think for many young people, you come out of school and either you do or you don't have this picture of what you think you're going to be doing. But chances are, whatever that picture is, it bears no resemblance to where you end up.
Yes.
I graduated in civil engineering. I thought I wanted to be designing dams and sluiceways, stay on the technical side of engineering. And then you learn who you are and you find that I didn't have the mindset, you know, of a designer in engineering. And I liked people. I liked making things happen. I got onto a project where I was the site engineer on a construction project, and I never looked back from that. I mean, it was just so much happening, so much to learn. I went through, you know, various progression of roles: site engineer, site superintendent, mm-hmm. project construction manager, project manager. And I got to see some amazing projects take life from a, you know, an empty field to a building where people could either live or work, or in the one case, a YMCA, they came to work out and play sports.
Nice.
And that was just so much fun. And then as the world changed, I mean, I started to look at where my career would take me next. I was offered a position internally in the organization I was working for, and that led to a director level role, and then becoming the first vice president in UMA Group with a national mandate. And I'd always thought that I wanted to stay, once I get into the building career, I wanted to stay building places for people. And all of a sudden, I was in this role internally, but I started to realize that when you're in a leadership role in a company, you are building places for people inside the company. Mm-hmm. And so I took that challenge on and was in that role for probably, you know, as director and then VP for probably a decade, and then left to start my own business, something I'd never thought that I would do. But circumstances lead you to thinking, too young to retire, still want to do something, have more to give.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's awesome. I love what you said about the fact that leadership actually builds things as well, not just the physical buildings, but also builds within an organization. So that was, I love how you put that. And were there any key events or people in your life that really helped you to get where you are now?
There were a lot of them along the way. I was very fortunate in that regard. Going way back to school, I had a guidance counselor, a woman who was the head of her time, that said women could be almost anything they wanted to be. And I'm betting that if she was here today, she would say, you know, anything they wanted to be, there would be no caveat on it. I had a chemistry teacher who made the sciences exciting. My brother encouraged me to go in because he'd been an engineer before me. Other than my parents supporting me in the choice, though, that was almost the limit of the people who encouraged me at a high school level to do what I was doing. I was very fortunate along the way to work for people who were supportive, because I know some women end up in places where their managers are not so supportive of them being there, of them being a woman in their positions. But I was fortunate that way. And when I came to work for UMA, for 20 years, I worked for a gentleman who was both a mentor and a sponsor. And I learned a lot about leadership from him, and project management first, then leadership. And I would give him a lot of credit for the opportunities that I've had in being a leader.
Nice. I think that I'm learning more about sponsorship. You mentioned him being a sponsor, and I'm learning more about sponsorship versus mentorship, and how they're both very valid, and they just are a little bit different from each other. So I love that you brought up sponsorship. I think that's something that we're starting to talk about more. And like you said, some people wouldn't be where they are today without a sponsor. So that's wonderful.
If I could put in a little bit of a plug, as you know, I'm chair of Winsett Center, and Winsett Center offers professional development for women in SET. And one of our skill builders is on mentors and sponsors. We used to do a whole day workshop of it, and it helped women understand what the differences are and determine, you know, kind of identify where people are that they could approach to be in those roles for them, or to work with mentors and sponsors. So highly recommend finding a way to get one or both of them in your career. It makes such a difference.
Is that something that Winsett is still offering?
It is. We aren't offering the in-person ones yet.
Right.
I don't know when we'll be back to offering our day-long workshops, our whole series of six. But the skill builders that we offer, the 90-minute online, as much engagement as we can get in a virtual world,
yes,
we try to have in those sessions. But they cover all the topics pretty much that we would have covered in our in-person workshops. But still not quite that you know, ability to be in the room with people and network that those offered.
Yeah, well, we'll still put a link to those in the show notes. It's great that you're still offering them, even in this COVID pandemic world. Yeah. So we'll put a link in the show notes and then our listeners can check them out.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be a little hard to answer because I imagine you've had many memorable moments in your career and your education, but are there any that stick out to you?
Well, I'm going to start at the more recent times because I was really, I was surprised to win the R.A. McLaughlin Award.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask you about it as well. So please tell me.
I was really excited about winning it, and but there's so many amazing engineers in the province, and so you kind of, wow, you know, I won this award. So that to me was, it's been a fun time. It's reconnected me with a lot of my former colleagues who've come out in support of it, and it's been a wonderful few weeks of going through the process. Would have been neater had there been an in-person conference for EGVC where there was a presentation, but they made as much of it as they could in a virtual world, and it was a lot of fun, exciting, and I'm very proud of winning it.
That's great. Congratulations.
And if I go back in time, I mean, the things that kind of stand out, when you start out in your career, I don't think you see the possibilities. Like if you'd said to a 20-year-old Marg Latham mm-hmm. that someday you'll be a vice president in a national consulting engineering firm, I would have thought that completely impossible. And yet, and so when I was appointed, to me that was a huge deal. It was something I was proud of then.
Yes.
Excited about. And as much as I've always been a believer that it's about influence, not position, there's something to be said for the influence that you can have on an organization at a higher level in the organization.
Yeah,
I mean,
course.
Don't stop trying to influence no matter what level you're at, but it does make a difference. And so I was able to do a lot more from that position.
Yeah, that's great. I love hearing about that too, because we have listeners from all over the career spectrum in terms of where they are in their careers. So it's always wonderful to hear from somebody who's like, you know, I got there, and 20 years ago I thought I wouldn't be here, or I didn't know I'd be here, and I got there. So it's really inspiring to hear those kinds of things.
And again, to put in another plug, I'll keep mentioning Windsor
because
my brain is so wrapped in it. But we always talk about our leadership programs developing women to be leaders at all levels, because you can be, it's about small level leadership, not that title. And you can be that no matter where you are in the organization.
Yeah, totally. That's great. What would you say is maybe your proudest accomplishment in that journey that you've had?
I'm probably still going to land on the same two. There've been things that I've been excited about accomplishing, and things that have been a real challenge to accomplish. Mm-hmm. I think for anyone who's led an organization through the pandemic, I don't mean to put it in a negative sense, but surviving the pandemic as an organization to me was an accomplishment. May not have been a fun time, mm-hmm. But I think that for me and the leadership team of Windset and our contractors, I mean, we all worked together and we made it through, and we've come out a success at the other end. And to me, that it was a proud moment, but a tough moment mm-hmm. to go through.
And unfortunately, it's not over yet, but we're seeing a bit of a light of it at the end of the tunnel. So,
I don't know when COVID will be done with us.
It may never be, honestly, and we may just have to sort of adapt our lives to it, right? But yeah, I agree. I mean, as somebody who's been managing a small team through a pandemic remotely, virtually over the internet, it's hard. But I have learned so much in the process, and I think it's really helped me to grow. So Yes.
I think it's one of those things that you don't think of as you're going through your career, that some of those moments that were just felt like they were brutally hard to go through.
Yes.
Taught us so much.
Yes.
You know, that's really where you learn to be a leader, if you can make it through those things and come out the other side.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. So going back to, I guess, like the beginning of your career, or even when you were in school, what really inspired you to pursue a career in STEM? Like, was there a defining moment? Was it a slow or gradual process? Was there a spark when you were in school? Yeah, tell me about that.
I think, like I mentioned, the guidance counselor, Mrs. Scott, mm-hmm. who was very encouraging about going into women could do things. You know, they weren't restricted, because back then when I graduated, I mean, that was in 1970. When you came out of high school as a woman, it's not that there's anything wrong with these careers, but they were the paths that you were kind of focused. You know, you could be a nurse, a teacher, a secretary,
right,
or nothing at all. And so for someone to say you could be an engineer was very encouraging. I mentioned the chemistry teacher, Mr. Wheeler, and he would give me books to read on chemistry,
nice,
physics, and I got excited about it. And I loved math, a very unusual thing, I guess, but I loved math. And I could, in some of the math we were taking, kind of some of the advanced, you know, courses that I was able to take, I could see what math could do. I could see bridges and, you know, those, the formulas and that we were working on. And, mm-hmm. and it just, I just saw that as somewhere I wanted to be. And I guess growing up, I'd always had this affinity to the sciences. I loved going out on trips, looking at rocks around the city and looking at the stars. I love stargazing and anthropology. So I was, a lot of the reading that I would do would be around those things. So I guess it all kind of built up to be, was it going to be in science, but what was it going to be? And
right.
then the encouragement from my brother and the guidance counselor to think about applied science, engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had it to do all over again, I mean, that degree, that civil engineering degree, even though I can't say that I really practiced a long time or a lot in civil engineering, I think it would have been the right degree to do later even.
Yeah, that's really interesting how you can just go down this path that you maybe don't expect, and maybe just one decision brings you to this point that you're at now. And it's so interesting. And as somebody who is a little earlier in her career, it's just interesting to think about how that could be me someday. So that's awesome. You know, whatever I'm doing now will lead me on to the next thing, right? So
I was going to say, it's interesting because it doesn't just happen that once. Like,
right.
I mean, I've kind of stayed centered around a core in my career, but there have been circumstances that have led me kind of a different path.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a project manager with UMA and recession hit, things were slowing down in the market that I love, these institutional buildings that we were building. And I got asked to do an internal project. And it was on helping this person, Jeremy Kahn, who'd been my 20 years mentor, sponsor, helping him develop a new policies and procedures manual. And this is in the day when they really were manuals for the organization. And I thought, internal project seemed like a death knell for my career. And policies and procedures just seemed so absolutely boring. But this man had, you know, he had been important to my career. And so I took on the challenge. And that's where I very quickly realized that this was an opportunity. It was an opportunity for me to influence,
yeah,
and build a place for people. And so coming out of that, like looking at the other side of it as, you know, it's not a death knell. This is an opportunity. And it led to director level and then VP level roles in the organization, and just some opportunities to do some amazing things, you know, and accomplish things for the organization.
There you go. Sometimes you just have to do it. Yeah, great. I was wondering if you have any tips or tricks or just advice for women who are in university and are pursuing STEM careers and pursuing STEM studies, and what you might say to them in terms of, you know, keeping on and getting into that career space after university?
I would say if you're choosing a, if you've chosen a career and there are a small number of women in it, build your network of women to support you outside of that in case you need them. Join organizations that will help you along the way. I've always joined, you know, like when I was in construction, it was the, you know, there was a National Association of Women in Construction chapter in Toronto, and then Canadian Construction Women,
right,
in Vancouver. You know, they were a support group.
Right.
If I needed, you know, if I needed to talk things through, there were women there. There was a network. There was that was both support and opportunity for me. And of course, finding programs to develop not just your technical skills, but the skills that are going to help you be successful out there. And again, that, yeah, you know, WinSET is an opportunity for that as well. But I would say believe in yourself is a big thing, that you may not see where you can truly be in your career until you're quite a ways out into it.
Yeah.
And what you think you're going to be when you graduate may not be where you end up, and that's okay. And it won't be a straight line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything but a straight line.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Thanks for that reminder, because that's what's happening with me too, right? What I graduated in isn't necessarily what I'm doing. Yeah, thank you for that. I think listeners definitely need to hear that sometimes. It can be hard to have that faith, you know, but you just have to sometimes. Yeah, so thank you for that. So I'd like to go a little bit into the negative. It's really an opportunity for our listeners to hear what kind of situations our guests have been in and how they've learned from it and grown from them. So I'm wondering if there are any less than great moments or issues that you had to overcome and how you did so.
When I landed on a construction site in Toronto, I was the only woman. And I was, there were some of the men on site kind of viewed me as, you know, kind of daughter-like and wanted to help me along. And others just, you know, thought I didn't belong there. Some were openly hostile. And so I think that two things that probably, you know, kind of helped me along the way is having a sense of humor. And also wanting to learn, you know, even the crustiest tradesperson, you know, can be melted down by, you know, you respecting the fact that they know how to do their work.
Yes.
And you wanted to learn, you know, exactly what they were doing and why they were doing. And so those two things, wanting to learn and having a sense of humor, they got me through a lot, but there were things that would happen. And I don't think that we can, you know, we can mince words about them, you know, being in earshot of, you know, having stories told graphically. So you're, you know, they want to make sure you've heard them.
Right.
Hearing words that in my household never got said, being called things you know, You just have to let some of those things go by. I mean, the very serious ones. When I was working on a site a few years after that, there was someone came in and basically threatened me, saying that if I didn't use their, you know, their equipment on the job, there was kind of this or else. And I was very fortunate. As I've said all along, I worked for supportive people. I went to the project manager in the office, and I said, this is what's happened. Never heard from that person again. They were never on the site. There was any further, and they never worked for any of the company's projects in the future. And so, you know, not everyone though is in that kind of a situation where they feel comfortable going to the person they work for or feel supported by the person they work for.
Yes, and so, totally.
That's maybe where that network of those associations and the network of women, how do I deal with it? This is what's happened. I think these days, though, most young women are working in an organization where somewhere above them, there's either a woman who is supportive, or there is a leader, an ally, male or female, that will help them in tough circumstances. And so I highly encourage young women, if there's something that's happened, and you're not comfortable dealing with it directly, find one of those allies.
It's really encouraging that you say that, because I was going to ask also if you've seen a change in your career when it comes to how women are treated in STEM and in trades. So it sounds like you have.
Absolutely, I have. I think some places, some sectors have been slower in that. But when over the years, firstly, being alone as the woman on site, later, there were one or two other women on site.
Right.
So, and women in trades.
Yeah.
And now there are, sites have multiple women. But I do think that probably the one of the tougher places to make change, even though a lot of work's been done at it, women in trades, I think, are still probably experiencing more issues out where they are on sites, sometimes remote sites. I know that there have been the coalition of women in engineering, science, trades, and technology. Did I get it in the right order? Science, trades, and technology. CC West.
Yes,
we all know them.
Yes, I also am not sure of the order.
They have a wage funded project recently where they were involved with trade groups across the country. Particularly, they worked with here in BC. Mm-hmm. To come up with almost like a code of conduct for construction sites around, to make them more respectful and inclusive.
Mm.
I don't know how far that's been embedded, but it certainly has some possibilities.
Great. That's encouraging and good to hear. And I've been working in this sort of equity, diversity, inclusion in STEM field for about 6 years. And I've also seen some really interesting things happening on a small scale and on a big scale that we wouldn't have seen even 6 years ago. So I'm feeling encouraged, and it's great. And it's nice to hear from somebody that's really in those trenches of the supporting women in STEM realm that things are getting better. So
it's interesting, because I was on a panel, and this is pre-COVID and probably 2 or 3 years before COVID. And I was on a panel in Vancouver, and there were two younger women on the panel with me and the moderator. And it was interesting. The two younger women both, when asked a question that was around the negative things that happened, both said they just hadn't experienced that in their careers.
Interesting.
And then it was my turn to answer that question. And I said, well, I hate to put a negative twist on this, but that's not my experience.
Mm.
Multiple times in my career, I've had these challenges occur. And it was interesting, because the room kind of responded to that. There were more women in the room that had my experience than these two young women who just hadn't had that happen in their career. And on one hand, I'm very encouraged by the fact that if they're coming into their career and they're younger than me, then these things are happening less often.
Yeah.
Because I would have said every woman who ever has gone into these, engineering, trades, technology, they're bound to have experienced these things.
Right.
But it seems like some aren't.
Yeah.
And that's good.
That is good. That is really good. I will say also that when we ask this question on our podcast, we ask it almost every interview we do. And people have stories. The people who come on to the podcast have these negative stories. And a lot of times it does boil down to, as hard as you like, just trying to not let it get to you, and then using your support people, networks, etc., to move past it, because you can't change the behavior of other people as much as, or their reactions to you. You can't choose you can't control what somebody else is going to do, but you can definitely control your reaction to it. And that being said, we also need to create this better, more supportive culture and talk about these things. But in the heat of the moment, you know, it's what you have to do is use those.
It's emotional and it's tough. And
yes.
It's interesting because when I moved inside, like when you're on a construction site, it's blatant. Mm-hmm. It's in your